You're too negative. You're too negative. Make me feel good.
I had a lady come here, and she said she'd never learned that much in one service. She never came back. Wow. And then she told a friend, well, I go to church because I want to hear something that's going to make me feel good. I said, well, the fact is, if you're right with God, this does make you feel good. I mean, you know, especially as we continue on, I mean, it's a letter. We're not done yet. It's a book. We're not done yet. You got to go read it from beginning to end, and it makes you feel good when you do that. So the wickedness snowballs and results in what we read in verse 2, by swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery. That just sounds like TV. And they break out, and blood toucheth blood. So God's patience will eventually run its course, as it did here. Just a reminder, we're reading about what happened right before Assyria came down, destroyed Israel, took the northern kingdom and took all their people that they let live, and they took them back to Assyria, but a lot of them, they skinned them alive. They dashed the babies' heads against rocks. And all the prophets said, if you'll repent, you won't die. And they'd rather die. They love their sin too much. That's reality. And verse 3 says, therefore shall the land mourn, and everyone that dwelleth therein shall languish with the beasts of the field and with the fowls of heaven, yea, the fishes of the sea also shall be taken away. In other words, you see the nation falling apart with the economy collapsing, the food chain failing. Does that sound familiar? I'm not prophesying that we're at the end of the American, what they call it, the experiment. But this, if this isn't the end, it's a huge warning shot. All the wickedness of this nation, all the babies being murdered, all the sodomites mocking God with their fake marriages, and on it goes. And what do we see? And by the way, the Trump peace plan in Israel is all a part of the problem as well. And all of that combined has what? God lifting. People say, "What? God isn't going to curse us." God doesn't have to curse America. All he has to do is lift his hands of protection. And that's what's happening right now to an nth degree. You imagine, this ain't nothing like what they saw in the Great Depression. But it could. And people still will not hear God's word of rebuke. Right now, people won't hear it. I'm in some of these social media groups and stuff, and you know what they're telling people to do? They're saying that we need to get together and meditate and focus on oneness and raise our consciousness and come together as one. That's Antichrist. That's the people who are on the good side. That's how bad it is. People who are standing up for free speech, freedom of religion, you know, the right to bear arms. Let's hold hands and chant Om. And I go in there and say, listen, you need to wake up. That's the religion of the so-called deep state New World Order. You may be on our side right now, but I wouldn't trust you as far as I could throw you. Because your spirit ain't right. You're on the wrong team. You don't know it. That's why after the rapture, a lot of these people that are right now on our side be lockstep, goose-stepping with the Antichrist and taking the mark and all that. Yeah, narking on people. Hosea 4:4 then continues and says, yet let no man strive nor reprove another, for thy people are as they that strive with the priest. Now this priest here, in verse 4, is a good guy. You know, there's been some good priests under the Mosaic law. Today there's no such thing as a good priest. If he's wearing his collar backwards and telling you to confess your sin to him and all that, he's a devil. Today, all believers are a priesthood. And as we read on the reference 2 Timothy 2:1-6, There's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus.
Amen.
But this was under Mosaic law, and this priest here is a good guy, but they strive with the priest. And so the priest preaching the actual truth will not be tolerated by the tolerance crowd. I'm not alone, but I'm one of them.
Amen.
He's one of them. Steve, one of them. We can name other preachers we know. There are some good preachers still around, but not very many people are tolerating them.
That's right.
And they're threatening us. And Facebook, you know, I had to leave Facebook. And all I didn't even, you know, I wasn't out there. I tell people, you know, even these guys that hold up the signs and say, like, God hates fags or God hates the Jews, just block them. If you don't want to see that stuff, block them. How is it, why is it that Facebook and other social media take it upon themselves to police speech and they'll ban me for 90 days for saying the word tranny? You know, a guy said the word tranny in reference to his car and Facebook banned him?
Oh, really?
Yeah. Just saying the word. That's how.
So timely. Kamala Harris just introduced a resolution to condemn the terms Wuhan virus and Chinese virus.
Yeah.
To make it a legislation.
Kamala Harris is a brain dead idiot who has now put forth a bill to ban the words Wuhan virus and Chinese virus, a virus that came from Wuhan, came from China. Why? Because Kamala Harris is a liberal, and liberals are tyrants.
So it's literally just attacking the word?
Yeah.
So in other words, they're, again, attacking the Constitution.
Yes.
And that's all political correctness is, right there is an example of it.
If they're in power and they change the laws and then they fine you and put you in prison, that's how it works.
So eventually, the priests follow the crowd and judgment comes. That's what's going on right now in Christianity in America. The pastors are becoming just right lockstep with the people. Why? Because they'll lose people if they don't. You know, if they don't get up there and say the things and act the way the people want them to act. It used to be the other way around, folks. I mean, I know some people. But when I was a kid, I remember how people would talk about it. They'd say, you know, when they needed a pastor. We want a preacher who's going to preach the truth. And if people don't like it, then they can leave. That's not what they say anymore. Pastor leaves, the pulpit committee gets together, and they look, ooh, he looks like a pastor. Look at him. He just looks like, he has that look. And that, well, that's important too if it's from the right school. And don't you just love the richness of his voice? And I love how he does that with his glasses. You think I'm joking? That's what they actually talk about. They do when they're picking preachers in these churches. I won't name the name, but I know a church who a guy on the pulpit committee told me, this was years ago, he told me that the fact the guy had a PhD, even though it was like through the mail or something, but he had a PhD and he wore the nicest suits. There was a discussion for several minutes on how much they probably cost among the pulpit committee. And just the way he carried himself. And they actually, he was the one at first, I've stole this from him all these years. I've used this over and over. He's the one who told me that they said the way he just looks at you with his glasses. Ever since then, I've used that as an illustration.
You probably can't see you while I was doing
that. Yeah. So verse 5 says, therefore shalt thou fall in the day, and the prophet also shall fall with thee in the night, and I will destroy thy mother. That's the Laodicean church going to happen, but in Israel that's exactly what happened. And this prophecy is followed by God's own commentary beginning in verse 6. So if you're there, we're going to read the odd with me. I'll start in verse 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. As they were increased, so they sinned against me. Therefore will I change their glory into shame. They eat up the sin of my people, and they set their heart on their iniquity. And there shall be, like people, like priests, and I will punish them for their ways, and reward them for their doings. For they shall eat and not have enough. They shall commit whoredom and shall not increase, because they have left off to take heed to the Lord. Whoredom and wine and new wine take away the heart. And that's where we're going to stop on this study. But verse 6, it's not only to Israel, but it's true from the tree of knowledge all the way to the end of the millennial kingdom. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And it's not talking about your ability to do crossword puzzles or, you know, that, or, you know, win on Jeopardy. It's talking about the knowledge from God, God's truth. And that's why people are destroyed. Why was Eve destroyed? She misquoted God's word. And so she either Adam wasn't careful in teaching her, or she was careless in hearing. And probably both were true, because that's what's happening now. In most churches, it's carelessness coming out of the pulpit and carelessness in the pew. And that's what usually is causing the apostasy taking place. And before we go in there, I just want you to look at that verse. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. If you're not in the Word of God and learning the Word of God, you're playing with fire. Your faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. I mean, so many passages throughout the Bible tell you that the key to knowledge begins with the fear of the Lord. And if you fear the Lord, it means you want to know what he has to say about everything. Because you know he's the only omniscient being in existence. And it says, because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Now this is under Mosaic law, and he's telling them he's going to throw off the priesthood. That was finally done in 70 AD completely for both north and south. And there hasn't been a priest since in Israel. There isn't one now. But it's also true about Christians as the priests that we are. After the rapture, there's a fake church, and there's no longer a priesthood of believers. You're back under Mosaic terms. 70th week is just like the previous 69 weeks, and everything changes. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. And in verse 7 says, as they were increased, so they sinned against me. Isn't that the way it works? Yeah. Prosperity. Man just can't handle it. He says, therefore will I change their glory into shame. Israel's glory was so amazing before this time. You go back to the time of King David and Solomon. Israel's glory was so amazing that secular historians spend whole careers disputing what the Bible says about it. But the archaeologists just keep digging it up. They keep digging up all the information that backs up what the Bible says about how huge and massive the building projects and Solomon's stables and all that, the Herodian temple and all that. Yeah, Hezekiah's digging up that ravine, and they found an inscription there that totally destroyed claims that scholars had been making about the Hebrew language for decades now. And the archaeologists just keep turning things up like they don't care. And then the second part of that verse, Israel's utter decimation in 70 AD left only a remnant of people alive. All else was lost. I mean, you have this horrible thing that's going to happen to the Northern Kingdom, and then around 606, between 606 and 586, the South is decimated. They come back just in time for Messiah to show up, and yet he came into his own, and his own received him not. And he was cut off, as Daniel 9:27 says. And then by 70 AD, only a remnant of people were left alive. And when the leadership goes apostate, the sheep will follow. But it's kind of a catch-22 situation in a way, because I guess that's the right terms, because the Bible says it's the people who have the itching ears that gather teachers to themselves. And the problem is that there's enough teachers who will accommodate that. And that's a deadly combination. So verse 8 again says, they eat up the sin of my people and they set their heart on their iniquity. So judgment begins when God gives people over to their wickedness. Just like Proverbs 1, Romans 1, 18 to 32, both describe this process where people individually and whole nations are given over. God just gives them over. And then verse 9, and there shall be like people, like priests. What we just talked about in verse 7. And I will punish them for their ways and reward them for their doings. And apostates are never satisfied with prosperity. I mean, just think about it right now. America's poorest live better than the poorest or some of the wealthiest people in history. But it's not enough. I mean, they go home to cable TV, high-speed internet, smartphones, things in the 80s and 90s we could only dream about, no matter how much money you made. The poorest people have all of it now, and it's not enough. So verse 10 starts by saying, for they shall eat and not have enough. It's never enough. And that's not referring to being fat. I've actually heard people say, quote that. It's referring to the sins committed in order to have more. They commit sins in order to get more. And what I mean by that is, you in Israel, remember what they want? Let us have a king. So they got one. That was a real success story, wasn't it? King Saul. That led to, eventually, King Rehoboam. And that's when he said, you know, my little finger is thicker than my father's loins. Very crude thing he's talking about there. I'll leave it at that. And what's he do? Splits the kingdom. And then came what? Kings of Assyria and Babylon on both the kingdoms that split. It just happens over and over when enough is not enough. Here today in America, it's all about the collective communes. It takes a village. You know, everybody's all talking about for the greater good. You know, they don't mean what that used to mean. And the greater good used to include things like Patrick Henry's "Give me liberty or give me death." Today is give me. That's all it is. That leads to centralization and socialism, which is the liberal progressive agenda. And that's why right now they're trying their best. I believe it's obvious that they're trying to destroy our capitalist economy and set up a socialist system.
Absolutely.
And eventually they'll succeed. And there'll be a dictatorship, the Antichrist, with his New World Order. There you go. That's where we're heading. When enough is not enough. Verse 10 continues and says, they shall commit whoredom and shall not increase. You know what that means? Sex obsession results in low birth rates, resulting in economic depression.
Yeah.
That's a fact. Everywhere where there's no sexual morality, no biblical sexual morality, that it ends up causing things like venereal disease and other. There's an increase in homosexuality and other things, and all that results in less children being born. And when less children are born, along with killing a millionaire and a half every year with abortion, then eventually, which is where we are now, you don't have enough people entering the workforce to support the elderly. And so then you got to start finding ways to kill off the elderly. And it just so happens this thing called COVID-19 is killing all of our elderly people. Isn't that a coincidence? And the guy who discovered HIV says he has proof that the coronavirus was tampered with, and they added strands of HIV and malaria to it in the lab in Wuhan, causing it what we call a Wuhan virus. Yep. Kamala? Yeah. Caramel for brains. And if you want more information, this is a very, very long book and everything, but I'm reading little parts at a time. I'm about halfway through it, called The Wealth of Nations by Adam Smith, written, you know, 100 and, I can't remember the year. It was, I think it was the late 18th century. And it's amazing. He talks about all this that we're talking about. He goes in very long discussions about it and takes some focus if you listen to it. But this isn't anything new. We've known this would happen. How dumb is that? For a nation to have people who have written books and said, if you do what you're doing right now, you're going to die. The rise and fall of the Roman Empire, you know? Yeah. But who cares? Oh, yeah, that's always the attitude. Yeah. So verse 10 continues, says, because they have left off to take heed to the Lord. That's how the verse closes. And it really is that simple. Now, when people like Adam Smith talk about it, they're a little less direct in it, but he'll talk about how religion and morality and how that affects the economy. And, you know, you don't even have to read those guys. It's right here. It's right here in the book. A step away from God is a step toward death. That is an absolute fact. No matter what all the progressives and relativists say, there is absolute truth, and this is one fact. A step away from God is a step toward death. And that brings us to how it closes with this short verse. Read that with me, verse 11. Whoredom and wine and new wine take away the heart. Immorality, drug abuse, you have wine and new wine. The wealthier people have the old wine, which is, you know, oh, what year is this? And then you have the new wine, which is like Barnes, Boone Farm and Mad Dog 2020. But it doesn't matter. Either way, if you're drinking to get drunk and involved in immorality, it takes away the heart. Now, that doesn't mean just, I mean, God says whoredom. That means all sexual immorality. All. And wine and new wine, I mean, he's saying that at that time you didn't have a lot of options. They didn't have meth labs. We do. And you didn't have doctors putting everybody on dope. We do. I mean, well, no matter what it is, if you're on something that is mind-altering and not absolutely necessary, I mean, you know, you're going under, have surgery, you know, to put you under. But you shouldn't be taking drugs that you don't really need. And a lot of times, if you need them, they can actually might be able to help you. But if you don't need them, they'll really mess you up. And all these poor kids are thrown on Ritalin and other psych meds and screwing them up so that for the rest of their life, they're trying to find other drugs to offset the damage done when they were children. And they're all being schooled into whoredom. And it's all gateway, talk about gateway drugs. It's a gateway to destruction. God's condemning commentary continues through the end of Hosea 4, as we shall see, but we'll close with this. Even as your nation goes, you as an individual, me, we, each of us, can remain faithful. Amen. Noah shouldn't have been an exception. But if it needs, yeah. But if you got to be a Noah, be a Noah. Amen?
Amen?
That'll make a good t-shirt. So just with this question went in, will you commit to God come what may? I I think I was 22, 23 years old. 22, I think. And I just remember God really getting a hold of me about where we were, where what my generation, where we were heading. And I'd heard some preaching on it. I'd read a book. I'd watched a documentary, and I'd done my own Bible studies and everything, and Dark Secrets of the New Age by Tex Mars is one of them I'd read and everything, and it just one thing after another. And as I'd watch TV and I'd see what's going on around me, I could see where we're heading. And I said then, I said, Lord, I don't care if the whole world goes to hell. I am not going with them. Amen. I'm not going with them because I'm saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, but I'm not going with them in my practical daily life either. I haven't always lived up to the highest standards, but I haven't turned on the Lord, and that's what I'm telling you right now. You may have messed up. There may be things you've done you're ashamed of even. Confess your sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But then go to the Lord sometime and alone with Him say, Lord, I am not going to turn on you. I unto the end, not to be saved, because I am saved. I lay down my life and I am not going to turn. I don't care if the whole United States of America turns. I'm not going with them.
Also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 20, verse 21, King James Bible.